At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business are heroic, and you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.
This is Jen Kelly with the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation, and you're listening to Flourish Truly.
Good evening, beautiful people, and happy Tuesday. This is Tina and Jeff with a very festive Flourish Truly. Hey, Jeff, happy Tuesday. How are you?
Happy Tuesday. Christmas seems to be approaching at a very rapid pace so far.
10 days. 10 more days.
What do they always used to say? There's only 9 more days, shopping days left for the Christmas season. And, we're just about there.
Yes, 10 days. I'm sad. I have a little calendar. It's one of those little block calendar decoration, and you change it every day, and it says, you know, 20 days till Christmas, and every day I'm winding down. I'm like, no.
I know. I think this is, everybody's just about, I think, gotten used to the fact that this is a little different this year, and it's fine, and we're rolling right along. I tell you what, last night, Cherie and the kids and I, we went out to Lafreniere Park, and we drove through and looked at the lights over there, and we got out, and you could go over into the center area where the old carousel is, and the little pond, and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And there was all kinds of cool stuff that they had set up. Did a great job. Had some faux snow that was rolling through the air out of it was like bubbles, but it still felt like snow.
Yes, and the weather's been cooler. It's not, I wouldn't call this pretty weather. It's very dreary, Seattle-like weather. I'd like to see the sun come out, but it's cold. At least it's cold. It feels like Christmas. It feels like it should feel here. We have a horrible storm coming through tonight, and then some more, you know, another cool front, as you want to call it. So, I mean, at least the weather feels like Christmas. It's nice if you're going to go out and take a stroll through Christmas in the Oaks or Lafreniere Park or go down to one of the hotels that we talked about in the city. It's really nice time. And of course, this weekend being the weekend before Christmas, even though Christmas falls on a Friday, this is the weekend before Christmas. So people that are having events or hosting things and hopefully not large gatherings, but I know that companies have their work luncheons or work parties like my friend, they did something at actually her boss's house. It was just the employees, a little small, simple gathering, or this is the weekend people bake, of course. And so if you send out cookies or brownies or anything to your relatives, this is a big weekend for that. Shout out to our USPS workers. I know that they're crazy busy. I was at the post office earlier today. The lines were ridiculous. They are working to get the packages out to our friends and family whenever we ship. So I give them a shout out because I know this is like, you know, Black Friday for a week for
right,
them.
Right. Yeah. I feel like they've had Black Friday for 3/4 of a year now.
Yeah. So. But this is the crazy time because it's like, you know, you're cut off for your priority mail packaging. And then of course, like I said, people are baking. So the stores are crowded crazy. And I felt like it was a great week for us to kind of go over some of our favorite treats for the holidays. Cause I know you're a cooker like me and everybody, that's one thing everybody likes about this show, whether they're here in Louisiana or they're listening, you know, outside of the area, is they love hearing about local cuisine here. And some of the things that people will cook or bake for the holidays, not necessarily is always just, you know, catering to New Orleans, because I mean, like sugar cookies, everybody loves homemade sugar cookies. And my favorite thing is peppermint bark. So that's something that, you know, you can buy in the stores or you can make. It's addictive. And I'll be ashamed to admit that I can go through it. Like there's no tomorrow, but I mean, you don't get it any other time of the year. So,
well, you know, I'm one of those basic Christmas people. I always like the simple Christmas cookies. You know, the ones that you can get in the big bag at like, it's simple. It's got a ring and it's got red and green sugar.
They're like little sprinkled sugar on them. They're like $2 for a bag. Yes.
Yeah. And then if you get the little cookies that come in a tin, I will put a PSA out there right now. If anybody gets the cookies in a tin and you go, oh, I got one of these cookies in a tin, they're the worst cookie, I will gladly accept them as a gift to the show. I will absolutely take them.
A dollar at Walmart. I have a little small tin. And that's the cool thing about the tin is you can reuse them afterwards. So I actually have a little tin of those cookies. And I'm not like, I've always said this, I'm kind of strange for a girl. I'm not a big chocolate candy or, you know, sugar person. Like when I want it, I'll crave it. But it's just like I said, I'm a big king cake person. But I mean, I bought some of those cookies, I think probably 2 weeks ago. They're still in the pantry. I have ate some of them already, but I don't overload on the sugar. I never really have. It's probably why I'm, you know, the age I am and don't have any cavities.
Well, Christmas time is usually probably when I intake more sugar than any other time of the year, even though Reese's eggs at Easter are very close. And of course, yes. King cake, I don't count that though. King cake is part of it's a staple. You know, you have your dairy and you have your poultry and your meat, and then you have king cake. It's in the triangle. At least here it is. You know.
My dad, growing up, one of our favorite things during the holidays was to make homemade sugar cookies, but he would make them with vanilla pudding. And when I tell you, like, I could close my eyes, I haven't had a cookie as good as this. And I think it's just mainly the memory of him, you know, both my parents still being here and making the cookies, but these things melted in your mouth. They were so good and so rich. You couldn't eat too many of them, but yeah, there's a recipe online. It's vanilla sugar cookies made with vanilla pudding mix. And they're just so good. And like you said, they're just simple. They're just simple cookies. They're just simple sugar cookies. They just have that rich flavor to them. And of course you can decorate them with icing and paint them and stuff like that. But I just like traditional sugar cookies.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think some people go a little to the extreme on the fancy desserts. And of course, there's still the fruitcake out there that exists. But I really like the simplified stuff. But I tell you, I've got plenty of restaurant information this week because, if you're familiar, this time of year, starting December 1st, going all the way through Christmas, is Revillon dinner season in New Orleans. And Revillon dinners are a holiday tradition in so many New Orleans families, especially the really old school New Orleans families. Revillon dinners really, you know, go back about 200 years. And this is the time where it happens, all in that preparation for Christmas. You know, years ago, you would have it where restaurants would stay open late and families would go to midnight mass. And then afterwards, they would go to dinner. And it was a Revillon dinner at Christmas. And so a lot of the restaurants are doing great things everywhere from, you can go out to Andrea's in Metairie. You can go to Antoine's, to Galatoire's, to Atchafalaya, all of the great places. And starting at about $45, depending on where you go, you can get a Revillon dinner. And that, for our restaurants, is an amazing deal. And so that is something to keep in mind. And there are some hotel rooms available. So if you don't have a whole lot going on with family and you and your significant other or you and your immediate family want to go somewhere cool, this is not a bad choice for Christmas. It's always been a great Christmas town. We decorate. We try to provide a first-class service. Mm-hmm. And
hotels are so beautiful. Like I said, that is such a – I mean, it's free. You can't get much better than that. I mean, you could just tour through the hotels down in the city and look at the displays in their lobbies. They're absolutely gorgeous, and it doesn't cost anything. You know, they're welcoming. They love, I mean, especially at this time of the year and with the way things are, they would love to have the traffic come through and go get yourself a really good meal. Cause I mean, Creole Cajun, there's nobody, we're from New Orleans, but I'm just telling you that you're not going to get a better meal, especially for the holidays. They will, you know, they will feed you and treat you good. And it's just, you know, it's yum.
I tell you, here's a perfect example. And Broussard's is really one of our classic restaurants. This is the Revillon menu at Broussard's. And it's $49. $49 at Broussard's in the French Quarter. I mean, this is a steal. Your first course, you get a choice between Satsuma cured salmon cakes or lemon Brussels sprouts, which have the whipped brie, the bacon jam, the green apples. It's amazing. Your second course, a kumquat avocado salad or a lobster bisque.
Oh, their lobster bisque is delicious.
Their lobster bisque is amazing. Their third course, a duck breast La Satsuma, or the seared scallops Saint Jacques, which has a brie fondue on it, which is also an amazing deal. And it's also got the, you can also get the lobster gnocchi. And I don't know if you've had that at Broussard's, but it's really rich and it's just absolutely delicious. And of course you top that off with a dessert, four courses at Broussard's, Revillon, $49.
You can't beat that.
Could you beat that with a stick?
Not at all. Not at all. And there's a lot of great restaurants. I mean, if you want to, in Metairie, they have Andrea's, which is a Northern Italian restaurant. I'm Italian. I've told y'all before, I'm extremely picky. Andrea's restaurant is delicious. You really can't go wrong with anything there. So, I mean, there, and for $40, $40 to $50, you just can't beat that for a four course meal. You really can't.
Not at all. And I think that, you know, you look at a restaurant like Restaurant August, and I think, you know, a lot of people around the country and around the world talk about their Michelin restaurants. Well, we don't have Michelin restaurants because just about all of them are Michelin. But when you think about a Michelin restaurant across the world, you think of these restaurants that have this impeccable service, this impeccable, you know, kind of just lofty places that you or I would probably never go into in any city. But Restaurant August is probably that echelon of a restaurant that anyone in the world would walk into and go, this is an amazing dining experience. Four courses at August during Revillon, $110. Some of these restaurants that August would be comparative to across the country, $110 might be your appetizer. You know what I mean? So yeah. that is exactly what we're talking about. I mean, theirs has the turtle soup, which I have had at August and is absolutely amazing. And it's not traditional, so it's really something different. Their main course is a Wagyu hanger steak. Like, they're serving serious stuff, and it's topped with P&J oysters. Like, this is something that you won't find anywhere else. And we're talking about $110 for the upper top pinnacle of New Orleans dining. $110. I mean, I know people that can't get away at like Chili's for less than that.
or a chain like Morton Steakhouse.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's a chain. And I mean, I'm not knocking their steaks. They're good. But I mean, you're not getting something authentic to the city. And like you said, you know, the choices, I mean, it's just incredible. And of course, with it being, and us being a very, New Orleans is a very religious city, and going to, and I grew up Catholic, Mass on Christmas Eve is a huge thing. I mean, you have to get there very early to get a seat. A lot of times, I know one year, a couple of years ago, Dan and I went, we left relatively early and it was still standing room only. I mean, well, you know, people pack in for Christmas Eve Mass. So to be able to do that with your family and then have a great meal afterwards or even before, I mean, and something that's so unique and you can make it an experience, which that's the one thing about the city. And people say when they always come here, they have such a great time, but it's an experience.
Right. It's an experience that a lot of people, I think it's limited to the bachelor party or the crazy cop. No, that is not what the city's about. What the city's really about are the experiences that you can enjoy with your family.
And I hate to say this, honestly, because I've been in Nashville quite a few times in the last couple of years. And I mean, being from New Orleans and know what goes on here, I feel like Nashville is now taking over as that bachelor town where people, they fly in on a Thursday, they hang out on Broadway Friday, Saturday, and head home on Sunday. I know a couple of people that friends of mine that live here in New Orleans that did that actual thing. So I feel like kind of Nashville is taking over for that. Whereas New Orleans is more of a, like you said, you know, people at least prior to COVID, at least we're coming here because when we're such with the Saints and football town and the Pelicans, people come in and they may, you know, I've never even Falcons fans that have come here that I've seen, you know, through the years, because they'll be sitting in my area. They all say, even though, you know, we're enemies on game day, they always come here and they spend their money and they have a great time. They never have anything bad to say about the city. They talk about the restaurants, the little hole in the wall places like the Alibi or in the French Quarter, and they go and have a good time and they spend their money and they want to come back and they keep coming back, even though, you know, like, I guess a case in point with the Falcons, we're bitter rivals, but their fans still come here and enjoy the city. And, you know, we treat them just like we treat anybody else that comes and visits.
Right. We're going to give you that ribbing. We're going to give you that little gut punch about your team or whatever else. But then we're going to show you hospitality that you've never seen. And that's really what our specialty is. And I think that we continue to do that and find ways to do that, even with the situation being what it is this year. So I hope that people are really looking at New Orleans forward thinking. We can't wait to get back here. We can't wait to find a way to explore the city. And again, New Orleans is still open. We're not open like some of our neighbors to the south that don't seem to have any off button. But we are open to the fact that
there's still plenty of things to come here with your family. They're just limited.
Enjoy it. Absolutely. Right.
Case in point, the Saints, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. They were initially going to have 15,000 fans at this game against the Chiefs on Sunday. And now, you know, just due to the numbers going back up, there's 3,000 fans going to be allowed in the game. I mean, yes, that is a drastic decrease to normally, you know, what we normally have. And then even from the 15,000 that were supposed to be there, but still we're hosting 3,000 fans in the Superdome. And I mean, realistically, are they all going to be from New Orleans? Probably not. Chiefs fans, you know, Chiefs are playing really well. Chiefs fans like to travel. If they can get their hands on some tickets, they're probably going to come here.
They're probably going to come down. And of course, it's a big game. A lot of people look at this as a possible preview for the Super Bowl this year. These are two of the best teams in the league. Of course, we saw our own team take a step backwards this week, which is okay.
That wasn't a step. That was a leap.
That they fell completely off the cliff, but that's all right. And I think it was temporary. We're going to see a rebound. But again, going back to this coming game, you know, even if you've got still without Drew Brees, that's okay. Because do we really want to see the full strength against the Chiefs right now? Or would we rather see it in February? I would rather see it down the road. But I still think it's going to be a great game either way. The Saints got their butts handed to them. The writing is on the wall. You need to do your job. You need to stop eating the cheese. All of the things that Sean Payton has said, and get back to work and do it, because that looked like a totally different Saints team this week.
Totally. The defense was completely flat. 8 weeks. I mean, for Lutz to miss 2 field goals in a single game, I don't know if he's still fighting an injury. That's kind of what the consensus is that he still may be fighting an injury, because he did not look like himself. He's missed 3 field goals in the last 2 weeks. The defense just was completely flat. I mean, Taysom, you know, I'm not going to beat up on him, because you can pick up any newspaper or go on any website and see what people are saying. And, you know, I know Drew Brees is fighting hard to try to come back this week. We don't know what's going to happen with that. He wants to obviously come back. I don't, as much as I love Drew and I know we need him more down the stretch, I don't want him to come in at 60% and get re-injured and then that's it for the season, because if he does, then he will indefinitely be out. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. You can't come back from that kind of injury and re-injure yourself and, you know, heal up for a couple of weeks. We need him down the stretch, especially because now we've lost the number one seed. And just depending on with Green Bay and how, you know, things fall with them, if they lose another game, right now we are the number two seed. So we do not get the bye week. And, you know, if it's us and Green Bay standing at the end at 1-2, we are playing up in Green Bay in frigid cold weather.
Look, I think that this was the kick in the pants the Saints, needed going into the end of the season. You got 3 games left, all right? 3 games left. You've got to go out, play, and at least make a good showing. But you were flat in all 3 phases of the game against Philly.
I can't find anything positive to say about that game except that, you know, we got out relatively uninjured. That's the only thing I can say.
We got, and that is a big thing to say. Tina, we played 3 straight road games and 3 very difficult road games. We played another situation where you're going up against a rookie quarterback, which is something that this team has had a problem with for longer than just last week. We went up against a rookie quarterback. The defense was flat. This defense was the best defense in the league, especially against the run.
100-yard rusher.
And you give up 2 of them this week. That tells you they were flat. The special teams looked flat. The offense looked flat. There was nothing positive about it, except, you know what? We needed to get that out of our system and look forward. And I think that's really what this season, in terms of the holidays and about what the Saints season is about, put the past behind you. Get ready for the real stuff. And that's where we are now.
And I have said this all year long, all season long, that this stretch is going to be difficult from here on out. People say, oh, well, you know, we're playing the Vikings. They haven't looked great this season. It's still the Vikings. They've had our number the last two times we faced them in the playoffs. And don't forget, we're playing the Chiefs at home on Sunday to turn around and play 5 days later. So yeah, maybe they're not your typical Vikings team, but think about it. We're going to have a tough game.
You play a tough road game.
Yeah. Coming off the road three weeks in a row and then a really tough game against the Chiefs to turn around in 5 days on Christmas Day at that. We're the only team playing on Christmas Day.
Right. And you're going to play Minnesota. And if you don't think that's a rivalry, you are mistaken. I was in Minnesota 2 years ago and that beautiful stadium they have up there. And that has become a huge rivalry.
People don't forget what happened. I mean, if you were on social media during the game, they were talking about Roby Coleman from the Rams game. I mean, he's not even with the team anymore. He's playing with the Eagles, and it's like people don't forget. You think that the Saints fans don't forget what happened with the Vikings the last time we faced them in the playoffs? But I mean, not only that, regardless, like you said, you don't ever take a team for granted, and we are playing twice in 5 days.
Yeah, and the Vikings haven't forgotten 2009 either while we're talking about it.
No.
You know,
so look,
very cognizant of that.
My birthday is Sunday. That's what I want. I don't ask the Saints for much, but please try to find a way to win so we can lock up this division and, you know, stay on track to try to get back the number one seed by some miracle if the Packers can lose. I mean, I don't...
Clorox knows you want your clothes smelling fresh and clean, but so what happens? That's why we created Clorox Fabric Sanitizers to freshen up your clothes between washes, pre-treat extra stinky laundry, and make sure every last odor comes out in the wash. Clorox Fabric Sanitizers take care of all that and eliminate 99% of odor-causing bacteria. Plus, they're bleach-free and safe for all colors and fabrics. When it counts, trust Clorox.
Their schedule, I mean, they've been playing great. We were fortunate to be able to, you know, stay that one game. And even with the Chiefs last week when they were playing, they looked beatable. Mahomes was throwing interceptions. But just like the Saints, like a lot, like when Brady lost and everybody said to watch him come back the next week and he threw, you know, like four touchdown passes. It's the same thing with the Chiefs. They didn't lose, but I mean, they didn't play their best. You think they're going to want to come out and they're going to come out swinging. Right. And I think the Saints are going to do that the same way. It's just a matter of who are we going to see at quarterback? You know, is Drew going to try to come out there and tough it out? Is Sean going to roll with Taysom again? Or is it going to be Jameis? A lot of people were calling for Jameis to see what he can do. And he's just been sitting on the bench so far. We haven't even seen him being worked in on one or two series. So it's going to be interesting. I have no idea. I cannot tell you what's going to happen on Sunday. I don't think the Saints know what's going to happen on Sunday.
I don't think so. I think that this is a very close to the vest. They know a lot of people are going to be watching. I'll be watching. I think it's going to be great. And look, the Saints have punched their ticket to the playoffs. They should win this division. I think that's still you know, a very likely scenario that they'll win the division and that they will have a good situation going into the playoffs. But, you know, Tina, sometimes we just have to take a loss, put it behind us and realize, hey, at least we weren't about to win the Super Bowl and we threw a shoe 20 yards down the field. You know, I mean, I think that's reality.
Yeah, that was insane. I didn't see the game. I only saw that highlight, if you want to call it a highlight, if you're an LSU fan or not. That was insane.
We are talking about Saturday's LSU-Florida game, which is another rivalry game. LSU had just gotten their butts handed to them by Alabama the previous weekend. And, of course, they were in a situation where they were playing a rival. It was going to be really the game that was – probably going to define the season for the LSU Tigers. And it did. And not only, I tell you, I'm listening to the broadcast and they get that, you know, it's a third down play. We're towards the end of the game. Florida has just made a massive stop about to get the ball back. And their player rips the shoe off of the LSU player.
Such a bonehead mistake.
Throws it. And my favorite part was the call by the referee who comes on and goes, unsportsmanlike conduct on the defense for taking the LSU player's shoe and throwing it 20 yards down the field. That's exactly how he called it. And it was something I'd never heard before. And I'm thinking to myself, you just threw away not just this game, but you are in a position as Florida to go into the SEC championship this weekend against Alabama. If you win, you are in the national playoff situation and you have a shot at a national championship. That all went away with the toss of a shoe. It's quite amazing.
They were
a shoe in
and then they weren't.
That's exactly right. They lost their soul in the game. That's what it was.
Crazy.
So it was a crazy weekend for football. And we saw LSU pull off an absolute upset. And then we saw our Saints fall in an absolute upset. But you know what? That's so 2020, isn't it?
It is. And as angry as I was, I have the 24-hour rule to let it go. I said, look, it's my birthday week. I said, it's Christmas. I said, I need to let it go. I'm angry. I just wanted the number one seed because I wanted us to have the bye week. I don't want to play Lambeau in the freezing cold. It has nothing to do with the Saints not being able to win on, because I know for years people were like, oh, they can't win on the road. They can't win in the cold. We've proved that we can. It's nothing about that. I just want to play here. I mean, obviously, if you can play in the Superdome in January versus playing at Lambeau in January, what do you want to do? You want to play here. I mean, home field advantage, people keep saying, oh, there's no home field advantage. It has nothing to do with home field advantage. We know there's not going to be a lot of fans in the dome for that game. It has to do with the bye week and getting our guys healthy and being here, not having to travel. And I mean, there's other logistics that go involved with that. But I mean, do you really want them to play outside in the freezing cold or let them play in the dome where they can, you know, be closer to home and not have to travel? I mean, all those things wear down on you, especially in a year where there are seven teams in the playoffs and the number one seed gets a bye week, which I tweeted about this last night. I think it is absolutely ridiculous that there are seven teams from each conference going into the playoffs this year. It's totally unnecessary. I know why the NFL is doing it, though, to try to make up some of the money that they've lost from, you know, obviously dealing with the COVID season. But I mean, it's not right. I mean, this has been the rules for years. The 1-2 seed get the bye. It's six teams. I mean, you're letting seven teams in, possibly a team at the seventh seed that doesn't even have a winning record. Absolutely. It's just ridiculous. As it is, you know,
the NFC. The fourth seed isn't going to have a winning
record. The NFC East is going to be at that point, probably more than likely with the way things are going. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And it infuriates me to sit there and think, you know, all because of that, if we're the 2 seed and we finish with, you know, a 13-3 record, that we still can't have a bye week. That is just just not acceptable.
We should still be grateful that we are getting quality football.
Yes, in
a
season. I'm very happy.
And we've got a team that has had minimal effects that other teams have seen. We look at the havoc that has had on the season of Baltimore. And quite frankly, I think the COVID issues that have happened with Baltimore that went around the league, I think that had a lot to do with what we're seeing out of the Steelers right now. But the Saints have really kind of weathered this storm pretty well so far. And I think that goes to talk about the way this team operates, the way that this town has operated during the entire thing. You know, there is a lot to be said for consistency when you're in a storm. And I think the Saints have shown that.
We're used to being in storms all the time, literally.
Yeah. We're used to our consistency is inconsistency, right? So, I mean, that is kind of what we're used to.
I will be eating cake this Sunday. I don't know what kind. That was like a running joke for years when the Saints were losing. We'd always say, hey, you got cake? Because usually you eat some cake and then they start doing well. But I actually really will be eating cake this Sunday for the game. And I hadn't decided exactly what I'm going to do. It all just depends. With it being an afternoon game, it kind of, you know, ties into almost going into dinner time. But yeah, I have a couple of few favorite ones. And I'm going to actually tweet out this recipe because people had asked about it last year, and that was before we even had the podcast. So I know when I post a picture, when I go ahead and bake this cake, everybody's going to want to know, but I'll tell y'all about it now. It is Heath cake.
You're going to bake your own birthday cake?
Well, no, I bake this cake for the holidays, period.
Oh, okay.
Remember we talked about this before about the bad thing about having your birthday like right around Christmas. So this is just a cake that I always bake anyway. It just usually happens to be either the day of or day after my birthday, but it's a Heath cake. It's poke cake. I know you've heard of poke cakes before. Everybody makes poke cakes, different types. There's banana cream, there's cookies and cream, but I do a Heath poke cake that is filled with caramel and condensed milk. And it is, when I say to die for, it is so rich. And you top it with a Cool Whip and then Heath pieces and you refrigerate it. It's so rich. You can only eat a piece of it. It's like our favorite. My sister-in-law made it years ago. That's how I found out about it. You know, we went over there one day for, I don't remember what it was, but she made it. It was delicious. She told me how to do it. It's super easy, but poke cakes are great. I mean, if you have family or friends coming over for the holidays, or you have like a little small birthday celebration for, you know, your kids or something, poke cakes, you can go online. They're a great way, easy way. I mean, literally, you just buy cake mix or you can make it from scratch. Take a little straw, poke a bunch of holes, fill it with whatever you want. Strawberry cream is really good, but Heath cake is my favorite. Like I said, it's caramel inside. You do a devil's food cake, poke the holes, do condensed milk and caramel inside and let it cool. Then top it with Cool Whip and Heath pieces. When I tell you, it is out of this world. It is like one of my favorite things. You could go get me a cake pretty much from anywhere other than a Chantilly cake, because I do love Chantilly cake, but I'll take a Heath cake pretty much over anything, because that is like my absolute favorite. And I always usually do make it, like I said, either, you know, the day of or day before or after. It's a holiday thing. We do them, you know, I do them for Dan's birthday. I do it, you know, for the Christmas holidays. It's just absolutely delicious. And it's so easy. I mean, it really is. And the thing is, you got it for like a couple of days, because you can't sit there and eat like more than a piece of it. I mean, it's just too rich, but absolutely out of this world.
Well, I tell you what, that sounds pretty good. I think you're going to have to gift me a piece. You're going to have to come by and drop
virtually
one off.
Send you a piece.
You know, you'll have to make it happen. You know, get your boys at USPS to make something work. You know, so that sounds really good. I tell you what, I am one of the things that I think a lot of people do during the holidays is celebrate some of their favorite holiday cocktails. And there were a couple I wanted to talk about that are among my favorites before we get to the close of today's show. Something to think about. Now, we've all seen and we all know the eggnog. And there are two people in the world. There are people that love eggnog and there are people that absolutely despise it. And so, of course, I have to fall right in the middle. There are times when I absolutely love eggnog, and there are times where if you put it anywhere within 25 feet of me, prepare for me to get ill. So there is very little in between there. But
it's like the fruitcake.
It's like the fruitcake. Some people love fruitcake, and other people will just roll their eyes. It's the same thing with eggnog.
It can be, but I tell you what, I have done the eggnog from Southern Comfort, which you can find in most of the stores throughout, I think, just about the country now. And they do a really good job with it. Southern Comfort has always been, I think it's the most aptly named alcohol in the world. It is Southern Comfort. It is sweet. It is like somebody patting you on the back and saying, oh, don't you worry, baby, everything's going to be just fine. That's the way it feels to drink Southern Comfort, and to have that in the eggnog is good. But I think a different spin, and I have always preferred it a little bit to be more on the bourbon-y side. Of course, I'm a little bit of a bourbon nut, but there is an aged Creole eggnog that the Rib Room does that I think is really great. And it's made with eggnog. It's got a little bit of brandy, a little bit of bourbon, a little bit of rum. It's kind of like your Long Island iced tea of the eggnog family. It's got a little cinnamon sugar on the rim. You put a fresh cinnamon stick in it. I've had it many times. It is absolutely delicious. But my favorite drink of the holiday season has got to be the bourbon milk punch. And of course, the brandy milk punch is considered one of the New Orleans classic cocktails. If you go to a place like the Carousel Bar, which is in the Monteleone Hotel, really fantastic place, they do a brandy milk punch that'll absolutely knock your socks off. But The one that they make at Cuvant is a brown butter bourbon milk punch. And I have to say, it is absolutely amazing. It takes a traditional brandy-based, brandy milk punch, swaps out for a bourbon. You use a nice, good, stable bourbon for it. And then your cream, some candied pecans, some brown butter is their secret ingredient. Ooh. Gives it that tanginess to it, a little creams it up a little bit. It's rich, it's amazing. And Cuvant is actually doing that cocktail as part of their Revion menu this year as well. So I just wanted to talk about, you know, you're talking about having your cake and eating it too. And I'm just trying to sit back and have a drink. That's it.
And it's funny you mentioned eggnog, because I love the Cajun eggnog daiquiri from New Orleans Original Daiquiris. I'm not a big eggnog person, but I will actually drink that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because it's got a different consistency. Obviously it's not milk. It's milky, but it's frozen. You know, it's more like ice cream. It's like a dessert. So I will actually drink that. But my personal favorite cocktail for the holidays is a cranberry champagne cocktail. And all that really is like a spin on a mimosa. It's cranberry juice, a little champagne, and frozen cranberries. It's very simple, very, very simple. But that's what I like. If I'm going to have something, you know, with a drink, if it's not wine, of course, you know, because I love my wine. But during the holidays, if, you know, we go to dinner and we go somewhere, I'll order a cranberry champagne cocktail. Because it's festive too. They usually decorate it with mint or a little lime or something, and it's pretty, but it's a different spin on the mimosa.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. I tell you, I think, you know, this time of year, I kind of, just about any cocktail I drink, I probably should just call the Rudolph, because it turns my nose red. It's really quick, you know?
Yeah, and I'm a big wine person, and it's funny because up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I never touched wine. I always was a beer girl. I always drank beer. I never cared for wine. And the reason being is because I was being Italian. Italians cook with red wine a little bit. Just a tad. And of course, you know, growing up in my house, my dad cooked with red wine, and I'm just not a big red wine person. I like a sweet, lighter wine. So I drink more of like a pink Moscato or, you know, a red Moscato. I drink, you know, the lighter, or I do like, Cupcake, which is a brand and it's relatively inexpensive, but my favorite is Stella Rosa Black. It's a very light red sweet wine. It's not your typical heavy, Italian type wines, like, you know, when I grew up with, that's what my dad was drinking. So I never, up until a couple of years ago, I really never touched it, because I just never cared for it. And another thing too is, and I know people are listening and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she just said that, I don't like wine just right out the bottle. I don't like room temperature wine. It's got to be a little chilled for me. I can't drink it otherwise. I guess maybe because I'm not truly, you know, a connoisseur of it. It's just not something I've never really cared for, but it's got to be chilled for me.
Chilled wine is, I think, something that, especially if you like the sweeter blends, if you don't like the richer, especially the darks, chilled wine is going to be something that you enjoy more. I really enjoy a Pinot straight out of the bottle.
I've tried that, and that's the correct way to drink it. I just can't do it. I just can't. I've tried it. And I've had some really good wines. My old boss was, you know, he used to travel different wineries all over the country, and he was in wine clubs, and he got stuff shipped, and, you know, he would give us bottles, or, you know, like sometimes in the evening after, you know, everything shut down, we'd have a glass on Friday, wine down, you know, Friday. But I should have learned to appreciate it, but I just can't, because I don't have an acquired taste for it. And I don't think I ever will. And it's only because, like I said, it's just something in the last couple of years. It's kind of like sushi. I just started eating sushi in the last couple of years. And I hate to say this, Drago's, my favorite restaurant in the world, didn't eat the charbroiled oysters up until about 10 years ago. All these years I went to Drago's, I would never touch those oysters. Couldn't do it.
You're insane.
I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, it's funny though, because think about it. When you were a child, there was probably a lot of things that you like to eat that you don't eat now, and then vice versa. And that's how I am. When I was little, I used to love drumsticks from Popeyes. Now I only eat white meat. I don't eat dark meat. So it's, see what I'm saying? It's little things like that. When you grow up, it's like you acquire a taste for something. I used to always eat peas. Now that I'm older, I still eat them, but I'd rather, you know, green beans or corn or
You know, what's funny is as a child, I was a white meat child, white meat only. And now as an adult, give me them drumsticks and them thighs.
So see, we're just the opposite. We're just the opposite. That's how that when I was little, that's how it was to get a two piece from Popeyes. And now, like I said, I'm completely opposite. So it's funny how your tastes change though, and you acquire things or you enjoy things. But I think for me, just growing up in household, like I said, you know, being very Italian and my dad cooked a little bit with the red wine and, you know, I tasted it and he'd say, you want to try this? But I never really enjoyed it. It wasn't something that, you know, like as I got older, like, oh yeah, you know, we're having a nice spaghetti dinner or chicken Parmesan and I wanted a glass of red wine with it, which is not typical for your Italians. It really isn't.
No, it really isn't. You know, Italians will, you know, Italians absolutely drink and they love their wines. But it's simply not typical for what you're saying. You know, you've really got to have the match and you've got to find the ones that you like. And I tell people all the time, if you are, whether you like beers or whether you like wine or whether you like alcohol, find the things that really meet your tastes. And a lot of times you got to sample a whole lot of things to find it.
Exactly.
I found that when I first started drinking bourbon and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just going to buy the little bottle of Heaven Hill over here for $4. And then you start to realize that there are very different. And now as an adult, if I can find a Jefferson Oceans, I am in hog heaven with the Jefferson Oceans. So there are, and of course that's a higher end bottle of bourbon, but the same thing with wine. If you like to try the sweeter blends, the Chiantes, go that route. Try some different things. Don't turn your nose to everything that comes to you because the spice of life is really about trying things. You know what? You may try something and you go, oh, wait a second. This is
really,
really
good.
And then sometimes you may try something and you go, this ain't it. And that's fine, but you should always be trying.
That's the beauty of the holidays, especially this weekend. You can try new recipes. I'll be blowing up Twitter over the next couple of days because I have a lot of great recipes that people sent me and some, you know, homemade recipes of things that I like to bake, like turtles. I do have a recipe for peppermint bark. It will, like, y'all will be like, wow. I mean, it's so good. So good. Sweet tooth. If you've got a sweet tooth, trust me, I will satisfy it over the next couple of days because I'll be posting all these recipes. And of course, as I start my baking, probably either Saturday afternoon or early Sunday morning, I'll be posting pictures of those, of course, online. And before we wrap up, I want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law and my best friends whose birthdays as well as mine is this weekend. So all three of us are birthday girls this weekend. So happy birthday to my mother-in-law, my best friend, Heather. I wish I could celebrate with y'all, but you know, there's always next year. And as always, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight with us. And you can catch us online. I am Tina at The Nola Girl on Instagram as well as Twitter. And our official Floors Truly handle is @Floors_Truly. Jeff, tell everybody where they can find you online as well.
Well, you find me in real life, probably behind the bar next week. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. You'll find me on Twitter at The Nola Rola is where you'll find me there. And of course, you can get me on Facebook, Jeff Momus, MAUMUS.
And we hope everybody has a fabulous week. And we will see you next week on Floors Truly. Have a great weekend and go Saints. Beat them Chiefs, please.
Have yourself a merry.
now serving B24 at DMV window number 7.
Okay, Jim, we're next in line. Perfect, Jim. Things are going very smoothly. You remember the cell phone bill?
Yes, and the birth certificate.
Nice. We'll have a real ID in no time. That's right. Ready to fly to Carla's graduation and then the big game. Real great work, Jim. You too, Jim.
Excuse me, are you talking to yourself?
Now serving B25 at window number 10.
That's our cue, Jim. Excuse us.
Talk yourself into real ID readiness by May 3rd, 2023. Make a plan at dhs.gov/realid.
Switching to Geico is a good idea, especially when you consider everything.
First off, Geico makes it easy to switch. They have licensed agents available 24/7 online or over the phone.
But if it's so easy, you might start thinking everything is easy, even big wave surfing. And it's not. It's actually quite difficult.
Well, if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds on car insurance. And you could keep saving by bundling your motorcycle, boat, and RV, plus your home or renter's insurance.
But saving money might lead you to make some questionable purchases, like a 20-foot feather boa. And do you know how hard it is to clean a 20-foot feather boa?
Well, they do have an industry-leading mobile app you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver.
But when life gets a little easier, it makes you too confident, and you start calling everyone Ace. And you're better than that.
Well, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating and has been saving people money for 85 years. It's hard to beat that.
But you're right.
Switch to Geico. It's obviously a good idea.